All right, Nell. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Axel.
Yes. Before we met, I've told some people, some other writers I know here in Manila, that I meet you, and then they all say, "Oh, wow, this man! I mean, that is quite amazing, because he's one of the few who speaks or who writes the language of the people. I mean, who really seems to have find a flow, a language that is accepted and understood, although it is not English, which is normally the, how would you say, it's the leading language if you want to become popular."
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So, how did you? I mean, you were very successful with your trilogy of books, and that is written in Filipino. I mean, how? Why did you decide to write in Filipino and not English?
First, Filipino is the language I'm most comfortable handling, you know. And since high school, I've been writing in Filipino. I tried writing poetries, short stories in Filipino. I have rarely write in English. And growing up, I grew up in a household that is very much rich in Filipino films. So I've studied the dialogues, the structure, and also I've studied the language of the street, because I live in the slums. For half of my life, I live in the slums and the setting up my.
But you had parents that were educated enough to introduce you into films and into culture.
They were regular people. My mother is a vendor. It's a balot vendor. Duck eggs.
The small ones, yeah.
The small ones, right. That's the product in Pateros, where I live. And my father is an auto painter from a car company here in the Philippines. And I do not have a formal writing education. It came from the influence of, you know, of what I have consumed when I was younger. It's films, it's comics.
So your role models for your books were not books, and no authors.
I can name a few, but these writers did not actually, you know, push me to write. What pushed me to write is my fascination with films. It just so happened that doing films here in the Philippines is expensive, and it's tedious, you know. Whereas writing a novel, it can be solitary. I can just be alone.
It's terrible. It's one of the most terrible things to do, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Finishing one sequence in a movie would take you, you know, so much time. But, you know, writing a novel, you can do it alone. You can do it remotely. You can do it anywhere, alone. And working with a film crew, I can just imagine, you know, working with, you know, hundreds of people, with, you know, I cannot survive that thing, I think.
I admit it. I know some filmmakers. It takes some years to
exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but what do you say? Which films inspired you? Which filmmakers to write your trilogy? Or what? How did you? I mean, yeah. Which films enriched your concept of writing?
I started with the films of Lino Broca. Maynila sa Koko ng Mga Liwanag, for one, is an adaptation of the best-selling novel of Edgardo M. Reyes, Manila in the Claws of Light. It's English translation. These are Filipino classics in films. I love the works of Mike De Leon, Kisap Mata. Take Mike De Leon, took a lot from The Shining and it's a mesh of classic films and 2000s Hong Kong films. If you have heard of Infernal Affairs.
Yes.
And then moving forward, my father has a collection of the Pacino De Niro.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Pacino De Niro catalog. And when I was in high school, I started discovering other genres of films, and that fascinated me. And
you transformed this film experience then into literature.
Exactly. That's why I always get from the readers that when they read my books, these are the unifying comments. They have this like cinematic experience because I write, maybe unconsciously, I'm writing in a cinematic way. It's very visual, very vivid in colors and texture, in action. It's very detailed.
And where do you get this? I mean, it's when I talked about you, everybody said, "Oh, the swearing words in Filipino." They're so creative. They're so amazing. Everybody says, "How can you translate them?" I mean, they're so extraordinary. Everybody says. I mean, where do you get them from? This amazing catalog of swearing words, right?
Swearing is part of our everyday life in the slums, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And what I learned, learning the language of the street, is different areas have their unique swearing style. And as a young man, having friends from the from neighboring barangays or villages. I've heard a lot of mothers, fathers, sons, daughters swearing out of nowhere, swearing when they're happy, swearing when they're mad. It's just part of their life. It's just part of our life, our culture.
Well, this is a bit like, I mean, just to get an idea, because I don't speak Filipino. I mean, this is like in American genre movies when every second and third word is fuck, 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 you fucking motherfucker, you fucking nigga, and all that. Is it like this? I mean, can you compare it to this very creative swearing language of Afro-American?
It has similarities with the African American swearing culture, but the Filipino swearing culture is very peculiar because it is rooted from weird kind of origins, like in the West, we just say fuck. We have here in the Philippines, we have like 100 ways of saying fuck.
Really?
Yeah, we can say fuck in 100 ways.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
And you use it. I mean, you just combine it.
I've exploited it in my novels.
Oh, I really would love some translations of that. I mean, that's
A dilemma that I've been thinking is, how would the translator not get lost with this kind of very, very specific swear words and other street slangs that I've planted in my novel. So, yeah.
So that's interesting, and it's great that you've, I mean, written, that you've tried to write in Filipino, and it seems that it is a rich language. Why do you think that still many authors write in English first? what do you think of the reason? Is it, are there the, is it the reenacting of colonial structures, some kind of transgenerational trauma? What do you think? Why is it like this that only few authors, I've met Bebang Say, who is has always written in Filipino.
In Filipino.
And but it's still quite rare, I would say. Why is it so?
I think it's writing in English here in the Philippines is first it's easier to market, it's easier to get a publisher outside the country. But if we're gonna look at the past, it's still part of the Filipino trauma from its colonizers. There was a time that writing in Tagalog, writing in Filipino is seen lesser by the ones who are writing in English, and that's that. I think is part of a colonial this colonial mentality thing.
If you have a constitution that is written in English only, and at courts there is English only, and many people on the road don't speak proper English, so they are not part of the national identity, of the official national identity.
Even a lot of our bureaucratic processes here in the Philippines is written in English. We have the Buwan ng Wika, or the Language Month, where the government promotes writing memorandums in the local language, but that's just 1 month. The rest of the year, we always write regulations in English, write the policies in English.
Yeah.
Even local policies in local governments in cities, it's written in English.
What about here? We are sitting now at your bread job, more or less, is this all in English as well here in the Ministry of Urban Planning?
Yeah, we write our policies in English, and so we write the plans in English.
So even here?
Yeah, same here. It's all over the Philippines. I think that has been the practice. And it goes beyond that. It goes into music, into literature, into film. It's everywhere. Writing in your local language, writing in your native language here in the Philippines, writing a novel in Filipino is almost to a point a gamble.
Okay.
It's a gamble because it will have its limitations, because nowadays a lot of Gen Zs prefer the novels written in English, but to my surprise, very fortunate that a lot of these young people have been trying to read Filipino, and I've just met this one book club last Sunday, and they told me that it's the first Filipino book. It's the first Filipino book written in Filipino that they read in their club.
Really?
These are Filipino kids. These are young Filipino kids. And my book, Ang Bangin sa Ilalim ng Ating Mga Paa, or The Abyss Beneath Our Feet, is their first Tagalog book.
Really? And
yeah.
Did they like it?
They loved it, and they invited me to, to speak for their book club discussion. They had me there, and it's, I think it's opening a lot of opportunity. The Dreamland trilogy, the reception it's getting, it's opening a lot of opportunity for readers to to read Tagalog, to read Filipino again.
Could they cope with the vocabulary? I'm just asking because I met Jessica Safra, who did read a book by Ellen Derain in Filipino, and she said that she missed so many words. She realized that her Filipino Tagalog is really bad. I mean she couldn't understand parts of it. So what about in this reading circle? Could they cope with the words, with the vocabulary you were using? I mean, did they understand everything?
They understood it because, to their surprise, it's a novel that was written in street language. Okay. Never used, because we have the formal Filipino, the formal Tagalog in the Philippines, and it's heavily being used in novels, in scholarly materials. But in my writing, because I'm not a school writer, I tried using the language of the slums, the language I knew very well. It's the common street language. Imagine the people you've encountered here in the Philippines, the way they talk, the way they converse. That's the way I do it in my novel.
Okay, and it's a coming of age story, isn't it?
They call it a crime novel, a noir novel.
All right.
I call it hard-boiled.
So this is your Hong Kong tradition then, yeah?
I think I've been influenced by it.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Yeah.
And coming back to films, because we mentioned films a lot, I mean, you are doing films as well. I mean, are your short films in English or are they in...
In Filipino too.
They're in Filipino as well.
Yeah, Filipino too. I've done 17 short films with my brother. And with friends. These are zero budget films that we tried submitting in international film festivals. In 2017, it was accepted in Yuki. You're familiar with
Austria?
Yuki?
Yes.
In Austria, and I've been invited to participate in the festival. I've been to Wels in 2017, and the film got a special mention The young people of the Yuki Film Festival asked me about how I funded the short film, and I said it's a zero budget film. Then they were like surprised at how are these things being pulled up.
Yeah, you can do a lot. I met people in Zimbabwe who do zero productions, and the output is amazing. I mean, with which camera are you?
I used a camera phone during that time. That was in 20. We made the film in 2015, and we use a camera phone, and just edited that in the post. So to make it. To make it look cinematic, but yeah, and then they even told me that their films were funded by the council.
Really?
Yeah.
It's normal. I mean, nobody.
That's a normal thing.
It's a normal thing, but there are zero productions in Germany or Austria as well. But it's quite rare. You always try to get subsidies. I mean, that's a normal case. But I mean, it pops in mind to me now. I mean, wouldn't you be into putting your trilogy into a film? I mean, as you said, you're influenced by film. It would be a great idea to transform this into a film, wouldn't it?
My publisher have been getting, and I too have been getting, emails of interest from studios. They want the trilogy to, to be adapted into film. But I think it's a long shot because we have to consider a lot of things. But yeah, I really wanted to see the trilogy into a moving picture.
Yes, since you said you write like a in a kind of film vision. I mean, it's with dialogues and all that, very fast cuts and all that.
The montage, montage style. I'm gonna be honest that when I was writing the first book, I'm thinking of it as a film, and my vision of the second and third book is to become a flexible material for a film or a series. So I'm still, you know, hoping, I'm really hoping that these three books can be adapted sooner or later.
And do you plan to write more books? Is this trilogy complete, or is it?
It's already complete. It's already ended last year, and I have a new trilogy called the Arson Trilogy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The first book was released this year, March, during the Philippine Book Festival. And Arson Trilogy is about the, it's about the trauma of the Filipino nation, because it will tackle the colonizers of the Philippines. The first book, Narco Cristo 1896, is all about the Philippine Revolution.
Really?
Yeah, it's all about the Philippine Revolution that is carried by those unnamed heroes, as okay. In the book. Then the second book will be set in the American occupation. The third one is during the Japanese occupation. These two books are not yet released.
So it's very different then. It's not hard-boiled anymore. It's not hard-boiled crime.
I'm trying to make an alternative history kind of thing here.
A bit Tarantino-like, or
in that vein, but I think you're getting the vibe of what I'm trying to.
Okay, and are you touching in your first trilogy and in this one, are you touching the tragedy of current Filipino politics, these dynasties of families that always are in power and are in a way reacting colonial politics as well? Marcos now, with Marcos Jr., is this happening in your literature as well, that you touch these political issues?
The Dreamland Trilogy heavily tackled the atrocities made by the past administration.
The Duterte times.
It was set in 2016 to 2022, and it tackled a lot of the repercussions of the bloody policy of Duterte. And
is it not dangerous to?
It is.
I always read that being a journalist or writing as a writer on these issues, it's not a.
During the time of Duterte, red tagging and violence against creatives and those who speak against power has been normalized. And when I finished my second novel, Bangin, they call it Bangin, Cliff. All of my social media accounts were infiltrated, were hacked, they were all compromised. And I'm thinking of, this might be something that, kind of the result of what I'm doing. And for the next 2-3 years, I've been experiencing the same cyber attacks, and that's why today I still don't have a social media account.
Yeah, well, I was surprised that you even don't have WhatsApp. This is surprising. And okay, now I understand a bit better.
So I kept up the online world for sake.
So you're very busy. You have a day job at the at the urban planning office. You are writing, you are filming, and then you are a drummer as well. What kind of music do you? What kind of bands do you play for?
I play for the Insect Life Cycle. It's a psychedelic rock band, psychedelic prog rock band. I play drums for Basalt Shrine. It's a post metal band. I played for Dagtom. It plays dissonant death metal. I play for Abang Lupa. It plays hardcore punk, and one more.
But this is like literature. It's a niche market, isn't it?
It's a niche market. Ironically, we have more releases abroad than here in the Philippines. We have limited releases here in the Philippines. But, our vinyls, our tapes, our CDs are being released in the Europe, in America, in Japan.
It's great, isn't it?
It's great.
Because it's only difficult for live concerts, isn't it? It's a bit difficult to go abroad that far.
It's difficult to go abroad, so, you know... But we organize, we do have friends who organize underground gigs here in the Philippines. That's
really?
Where we gather, and that's where we bring our product, that's where we bring our music. But yeah, but distribution-wise, we do it outside the country.
So if you look at the whole creative picture that you paint, what is the biggest, I mean, what do you invest most of your time in? Music, film, literature, what would you say?
I try to have it balance as much as possible, but that would be impossible. Before the trilogy, the Remnant trilogy came, you know, I do have most of my time in music because I've written like 30-ish albums.
It's quite a number.
For different bands. But when the demands start coming in for the Dreamland trilogy,
because it had quite some print runs, didn't it?
It had, and has been a bestseller for how many years now. I noticed that I've been spending more time writing, and this year I'll be releasing another novel that is part of a new crime series. And yeah, I think I'm giving more time to writing nowadays. But I'm still doing music. I'm still doing films. I try to participate by writing script, but not doing the lead.
Yes.
Unlike before. Today I'm juggling music and literature.